Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos is moving to change the rules on addressing campus sexual assault. In a speech Thursday, she promised to reform what she called a failing system while seeking fairness for every student, she said, including the accused. Sexual assault survivors fear the changes will mean more campus rape. Those who say they've been wrongly accused are cheering a move toward due process. This hour on Point, Betsy DeVos moves to put her stamp on handling campus sexual assault. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on What's at Stake, as the Trump administration moves to turn back Obama-era policy. Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Washington is Sarah Brown, reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, covering sexual assault and Title IX, which has been at the right in the center of all this. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What is the Obama-era policy or guidance that Betsy DeVos is looking at here?
So what we're talking about here is a document known as the 2011 Dear Colleague Letter. So campus sexual assault has been a sort of a top issue of concern for the Department of Education for more than 6 years because the Obama administration issued this Dear Colleague Letter. That document, it was not the first time that federal officials made clear that they had an obligation to respond to sexual assault reports under Title IX. It was more of a strongly worded reminder, I would say. But the letter did tell colleges there are a few specific things you are expected to do in order to be compliant with Title IX. You need to be using a certain standard of evidence when you're adjudicating sexual assault cases, that sort of thing. And the document also made clear that the federal government would be ramping up enforcement of Title IX and holding colleges accountable. So we'll get more, I'm sure, into the criticism later. But the basic concern of some critics is that the approach the Obama administration advocated wasn't fair to students who are accused of sexual assault.
People will be listening very closely, Sarah. Take us into what kinds of changes that meant on the ground in terms of policy and in terms of how these cases were handled at colleges and universities. Materially, what changed and what processes came about as a result of universities trying to be compliant with this Dear Colleague Letter?
One of the key changes is the standard of evidence that the Dear Colleague Letter told colleges to use. It's a preponderance of evidence or more likely than not that a sexual assault occurred. Critics often call it 50% plus a feather. So that's lower than the standard used in criminal cases, which is beyond a reasonable doubt, but it is the standard used in civil court cases. Basically, most colleges just didn't specify what standard of evidence they used to resolve sexual assault cases before this Dear Colleague Letter. And this Dear Colleague Letter made clear this is the one you need to use. So that was a pretty big shift. From the perspective of many due process advocates, that standard is too low. So that's one thing.
Can you explain what it means a little more? A preponderance of evidence. So, I guess most often you would have here it could be a young man or a young woman, but coming in and saying I've been sexually assaulted, and then there's some kind of a college committee that's going to consider this. And what might it mean on the ground? Preponderance of evidence. More likely than not, you were indeed assaulted.
That's right. So it's basically saying it is more likely than not that this sexual assault did occur and that this student did violate campus policy. And that's obviously a difficult and very thorny question to answer because these cases on campuses often involve alcohol, drugs, hazy memories, perhaps even incapacitation. A lot of it is very he said, she said. And so the argument, again, that due process advocates make is that we need a higher standard because this is finding a student responsible for sexual assault is really life-altering, and, you know, the stakes are really high here.
There was, at least it seemed, a wave of sexual assault cases that got a lot of attention in the run-up to this Dear Colleague letter coming out in 2011. Remind us, what created the pressure for this change in federal guidance via Title IX leverage on policy?
So a big part of the pressure actually came from students, from student activists. So basically around the time that the Dear Colleague letter was issued, this movement of anti-rape activists was starting to gain steam on college campuses, and they were publicly telling stories of being assaulted and how administrators didn't take their cases seriously. And they were imploring the Office for Civil Rights in the Department of Education to hold colleges more accountable by investigating institutions that mishandled these cases and taking away federal funding from colleges that violated Title IX. And while the Office for Civil Rights hasn't gone as far as to do that, they have opened hundreds of these Title IX investigations into colleges, and they regularly release this list of colleges they're reviewing that's sort of known as the list of shame in higher ed circles.
So have there been more cases being heard? Have there been more accused being disciplined?
I think it's difficult to say whether more students are being disciplined for sexual assault. I think it is probably fair to say that, you know, that more students are being expelled than was the case previously. This has been a key issue for anti-rape activists. Some reporting found that certain universities, the University of Virginia, for instance, were rarely, if ever, expelling students found for responsible for sexual assault, kicking them off campus. And then that was a huge problem in their view because victims were being forced to go to college with their perpetrator. So again, it's difficult to give a definitive overall number. Some reporting done a couple of years ago found that students found responsible for sexual assault were expelled about 30% of the time and were temporarily suspended in about half of those cases. But again, I think it's, while it's difficult to pinpoint a number, I think it's probably fair to say that more students who are found responsible are being expelled now than was the case 5 or 6 years ago because colleges are under a lot of pressure to take these cases more seriously.
Betsy DeVos pushing back. She has said she's very focused on due process for those who are accused. She said no student should be forced to sue their way to due process. And then last week, she said the Obama-era system put in place to address campus sexual assault is not working.
The truth is that the system established by the prior administration has failed too many students. Survivors, victims of a lack of due process, and campus administrators have all told me that the current approach does a disservice to everyone involved.
Disservice to all. And Betsy DeVos, Education Secretary, went on last week in her speech at George Mason University on Thursday.
Some suggest that this current system, while imperfect, at least protects survivors and thus must remain untouched. But the reality is, it doesn't even do that. Survivors aren't well served when they are re-traumatized with appeal after appeal because the failed system failed the accused.
That's Betsy DeVos, U.S. Education Secretary. Sarah Brown covers all this for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Sarah, is it clear as we speak today what Betsy DeVos is proposing?
So Betsy DeVos has not specifically said sort of what her personal opinion is on what needs to change. She has said on multiple occasions, we need to get this right. And in that address last week, she really made clear that, you know, that the Obama administration's approach was not good enough, that it wasn't fair to accuse students. And so we're not specifically sure what exactly she would like to change. She has suggested certain things that she would like to see. But I think her big thing is we're going to put these guidelines, these Title IX guidelines on sexual assault through this notice and comment process, allow the public and experts to weigh in and come to a solution that way. That was a big criticism of the Obama administration because it was sort of perceived that they issued these new requirements for colleges by administrative fiat. While that's not necessarily true, I think Betsy DeVos is really trying to make clear we want to hear all voices and make this a really collaborative effort to improve how sexual assault is handled on campuses.
What is the attitude that's driving Betsy DeVos here? We had this deputy to her in the Education Department, Candace Jackson, telling the New York Times that 90% of campus rape rape cases involved alcohol and regretful female students, kind of suggesting that should not be taken so seriously. What clues do you have as to exactly what's driving Betsy DeVos? Is it a due process concern? Is it something else?
I think it's what's fair to say is that Secretary DeVos is listening more to the voices of accused students and their advocates in these cases. And so the 90% comment you referred to was a controversial thing that Candace Jackson, acting assistant secretary at the department, told the New York Times, where she basically suggested, at least most people perceive that she suggested, that most of these campus sexual assault cases are drunken, involve alcohol and involve regretful female students. And so, that sort of led many people to believe that that DeVos and her staff are not necessarily respecting the perspective of victims. And so that's one thing. I think DeVos has faced a lot of pressure just right when she took this job at the Department of Education to change the Obama-era approach, scale back what some consider to be government overreach. There's been a sort of more formal movement of due process advocates and organizations who support accused students that are sort of trying to influence her view. And so that's really seems to be the shift to me here, is that she's listening more often to the perspective of accused students.
What about colleges? Are they welcoming this? I mean, the Title IX leverage put them under a lot of pressure to do a lot of things they might not have entirely done before. Or are they pushing back against this because they've got students saying, we've got a rape culture, or we've got a sexual assault problem, and we want a very stern policy?
Right. So I think some college officials have said that have had some criticisms for the Obama-era approach. I think most people applaud the fact that the Obama administration drew more attention to this issue. I think that college officials would like to see improvement in how these cases are handled, but it sort of remains to be seen exactly what shape those changes are going to take. But I think college officials will be certainly part of those conversations.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from ZipRecruiter, who understands when you run a business, you've got important decisions to make every day, like hiring. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality candidates simple. With one click at ZipRecruiter.com/OP, you can post your job to 100 leading job sites across the web and manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to hire. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/OP.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the new push by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos to change the way sexual assault allegations are handled on college campuses, to give more weight to the view of the accused here. More due process is how she's putting it. Very clear last week, as she said last Thursday in a speech, that she is all in favor of doing everything for victims as well. But she said she wants more fairness. By her lights, that means a change in Obama-era policy that brought much more scrutiny and tougher standards here. Sarah Brown's been covering all this for the Chronicle of Higher Education and is with us today from Washington. We have more insight coming on that front. You can join us. Do you know this world? Has it been too easy to find the accused responsible for sexual assault? Students, what do you think is the right way here? Parents, what are you telling your daughters, your sons? Betsy DeVos speaking at George Mason University last week, and there were survivors there protesting. Here they were.
Hey, hey, ho, ho! Betsy DeVos has got to go! Hey, hey, ho, ho! Betsy DeVos has got to go!
Faith Ferber, sexual assault survivor, told the AP on Thursday she's hurt by Betsy DeVos's calls for colleges to overhaul how they investigate sexual assault.
It really feels like a slap in the face to have Betsy DeVos giving equal time to accused students and survivors, pretending as if the rate of falsely accused people is so high when it's really not.
But you've had many out there as well saying, hey, what about the accused and their rights? Sherry Warnfield Seafield's son Caleb was accused of sexual assault. This is back in 2010. Later found innocent, but the woman who accused him was later charged with lying to police. Because of what her family went through even then, and this is before the Dear Colleague letter, Seafield started the Families Advocating for Campus Equality movement, support group for families with a child accused of sexual assault. Here, she tells the Minneapolis Star Tribune about why she's passionate about this organization.
In the same way that all of us in this country would say even one rape is one rape too many, I would say one false accusation is one false accusation too many. What our family went through and what my son went through was horrific.
Betsy DeVos saying she's going to correct that. Joe Biden, former vice president, speaking up over the weekend and putting out a post on his Facebook page talking about saying sexual assault is the ultimate abuse of power and very critical of moves to reel back some of the Title IX guidelines and leverage that were used during the Obama administration. Sarah Brown is with us from New York in the Chronicle of Higher Education. And Sarah, lots of calls here already. John in Buffalo, New York. John, you're on the air. Thank you for calling. What do you see?
I can just attest, being one of those accused students and falsely, that the process is broken. It is very important that the women that come forth and the guys who have had bad things happen to them are allowed to voice what happened to them, and that we have a proper system in place for all that. But it's also critical that we allow every person to tell their side of the story, understand what the charges are against them, be able to defend themselves when just an accusation of this magnitude can essentially destroy a person's life. It's just the magnitude is so high that we need to be very careful in all just making sure the system is fair for everyone.
John, did you go through a campus disciplinary system, and how did it work?
I did. So I underwent the Title IX investigation and process for adjudication. It was, I mean, I'm shaky just thinking about it. It was one of the worst experiences of my entire life. And it was, you know, it's the type of situation wherein safeguards are clearly there for the accuser, and yet the accused, the lack of due process is just, it's very difficult. You know, for instance, I was forced to provide all of the evidence in my defense before I even knew the charges against me. I wasn't able to call any witnesses. I wasn't able to have anyone there to speak on my behalf. And these are things that are very fundamental within our judicial system, which is why we have a judicial system. And I feel just personally that taking this type of situation out of the courts has been a disservice just to everyone, in that I think that there are probably better ways to do it. That being said, it's very important for us to have a system in place in schools to protect those who are victims as well.
John, may I ask, was this a young woman who was accusing you of sexual assault?
Yes.
And can you tell us, broad stroke, what went wrong here? How did that, at the very least, it appears that there was a misunderstanding here. How'd that happen?
Sure. You know, it was a situation wherein it was an unhealthy relationship coming to an end, and this person found that it was a more effective way to end a relationship. And it wasn't sexual in nature, but it was, you know, she just accused me of shoving her down, and that turned into a 3-year suspension that we then had to go and have overturned by a state court.
John, I appreciate your call from Buffalo. We're going to dig on in here. Sarah Brown with the Chronicle of Higher Education, please stand by in Washington. From New York right now, Vanessa Gregoriadis joins us. She's author of the new book, Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus, contributing editor of the New York Times Magazine and Vanity Fair. Vanessa, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
How are you reading Betsy DeVos's push here? Is it indeed time for something like this? Our caller John says he didn't have adequate protection. On the other hand, we have seen what looked like a wave of campus sexual assault, and it looked like something needed to be done. The Obama administration stepped into the breach there. How do you read what we're seeing play out here, Vanessa?
Well, my book is about the new rules of sex on campus. It's about ethical sex. It's about universities and students now being interested in sex that is compassionate, thoughtful, that gives the other person more self-esteem versus less. And we all grew up in a country that didn't promote this, but we are turning from a time where we are thinking about adjudication and punishment to a time where we're thinking about healthy relationships and how to promote them. And that is the conversation that needs to go on. What Betsy DeVos's deputy said to the New York Times, in addition to saying that 90% of the cases are bogus and involve alcohol, was that very interesting. She said, in most of these cases, there is not even an allegation that the young man overrode the will of a young woman. I think we all know what will is code for. Will is code for either you didn't resist or I only care about cases where there is physical violence. Did that man have a gun to your head? Did he brandish a knife? Do you have blood and bruises to prove your case? Because in a he said, she said, I'm going with the guy. And that's what Betsy DeVos and her deputies truly are hoping to accomplish here. They are hoping to accomplish a vast redefinition of what should be considered sexual assault, I believe, just at a time when this country is starting to accept that groping, the kind of groping that happened to Taylor Swift, the kind of groping that our president is accused of, is sexual assault.
What's the redefinition you're talking about, Vanessa, there? You're saying I can't quite follow the change that you're describing.
Okay. So Obama, in addition to setting up these campus courts, was very interested in broadening the definition of sexual assault. He wanted us to accept things that are groping. He wanted us
as
to
assault,
accept
you mean,
things
to,
as assault, mm-hmm. Yes. Things that are unethical, okay? He wanted to say if Taylor Swift gets her butt grabbed mm-hmm. by a radio disc jockey, mm-hmm. that is not just a butt grab that she shouldn't worry about. That is sexual assault. Okay? Mm-hmm. The universities picked this up and they said, you're right. We should take these cases seriously. I'm not saying that there weren't some problems with the campus courts, and there don't continue to be some problems there. I'm saying that we need to focus on as a country on the righteousness of his mission. And we already have evidence from Betsy's deputy that she will not consider those cases seriously. She just is interested in physically violent rape. That doesn't happen that much on college campuses. Murky situations happen. Questions about consent happen. There are not that many false accusations. The story of UVA that Rolling Stone told that ended up being a hoax, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen very often. The problem here is, what is sexual assault? Where is the line of consent? That's what we need to focus on.
Vanessa Gregoriadis, please stand by there in New York. Her new book is Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. Sarah Brown at the Chronicle of Higher Ed, stand by. Frank Merks joins us right now from Madison, New Jersey. He's Dean of Students at Drew University, former member of the New Jersey Task Force on Campus Sexual Assault. Drew is a small private university in Madison, New Jersey. Frank Merks, Dean Merks, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
How did the Obama-era guidance change the way you looked at discipline when it came to sexual assault on your campus? Vanessa Gregoriadis is here saying that, you know, there's a new understanding that sex should be more compassionate and thoughtful. Were you policing for compassion and thoughtfulness in sexuality?
Well, I don't know if we are policing for compassion and thoughtfulness, but I think we are obviously looking at the consent issue, which is something that Vanessa brought up. And that is something that we have been looking at even before the 2011 letter. So the 2011 letter really put together different parts of guidance and some legal background cases and put things together. It's interesting the conversation is still happening because there was still growth from the 2011 letter with the 2014 FAQs. So this has been a conversation in the Department of Education and on college campuses for a while now. And some of the areas have changed even under the previous administration. So that is something that has always been there. I do think that the vast majority of colleges and universities were taking these reports seriously when they came in. And following up, I think the guidance helped sort of put some guidance to that. So that is something that I believe we did follow up on. And there was a lot more conversation and discussion nationally about consent, about sexual assault. Like was just said, too, the spectrum of everything from non-wanted sexual contact to a rape, but also stalking, dating violence, domestic violence, and other different things.
Dean Merks there in New Jersey, what do you see coming at you in the DeVos push here? What a change in what direction?
Well, I think a lot of us are looking, obviously, at the standard of preponderance of evidence, and I think that there's a desire from the current secretary and some of her advisors to go to a clear and convincing standard. That is something also that the criminal attorneys have looked and pushed for to change that standard, which is interesting because that is often, that would be a different standard than even the secretary or the Department of Education would take when they were investigating universities. They would continue to stay at more of a preponderance standard. So that's an interesting side note on that. I think another different factor there is going to be the cross-examination that takes place in college hearings. We are not courts. We don't call them campus courts on our campuses. We have trained educators, and we have trained people who are adjudicators and respond, who are looking at the best interest of all of our students throughout the process. And I think comparing them to courts instantly sets those things in the general public's view slightly different than what might actually be happening on a college campus. So I think those are some of the larger conversations. I don't know. The other thing that often floats out there potentially when you do talk about the adjudication standard is also transcript notation. So it'll be interesting to see if the secretary addresses that at all.
What is that? Why is that a big deal? What is it?
Well, the big pushback from those students who might have gone through a process and been found responsible, there are some schools that will put that on a student's transcript that they were found responsible.
Oh, I see.
Or expelled. So people would compare it almost to a Megan's List at a lower standard. So that is something that I think potentially would also be discussed in some ways.
That makes it a mark for life if it's on your transcript, you're saying.
Correct. Potentially that would be on your transcript for life.
Sarah Brown, the education secretary, is proposing, I guess, some measures that might take this out of the hands of colleges and move discipline to regional enforcement or prosecution centers. I'm not sure what the right language is. What's she talking there, Sarah?
In her speech last week, Betsy DeVos talked about a particular proposal for sort of changing the way that campus sexual assault cases are handled. She didn't necessarily say, this is what we're going to do. She sort of cited it approvingly. So the idea is to have a sort of network of offices that combine the resources of government, of local law enforcement, and campus officials to resolve these complaints. And so while college campuses would still handle things like interim measures, so making sure that the student who is accusing another student of sexual assault doesn't have to go to class with this student, doesn't have to be in the same dorm, that would still be handled at a campus level. But the regional centers, quote-unquote, would carry out the investigations and oversee the sort of implementation of their results. And so that, I think, the idea is that that would address both the issue of resources, which many colleges say, you know, this is a very difficult, nuanced issue. We need a lot of resources for it. We don't have the staffing and budget to do that. It's also addressing potentially the issue of a lack of training for campus officials. So not all administrators are necessarily up to speed on how exactly to handle these really, really thorny cases. And sort of the last thing that's designed to address is conflicts of interest. So the idea that administrators are not objective fact finders if they also work for the institution.
Vanessa, just a few seconds before the break, but in a word, what do you think of that idea, taking this out of the campus setting and moving to a regional center?
I think that's fine as long as that regional center is not dominated by the principals of law enforcement officers who have dealt with rape in a very negative fashion. They need to take sexual misconduct seriously without physical evidence as well.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with a new push by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos to change the way sexual assault allegations are handled on college campuses, to give more weight to the view of the accused in these cases, with fairness, she says, for those who are making the accusations as well, for survivors or victims of sexual assault. Well, there's controversy over this. You can join us. What do you think? Obama-era guidance go too far or not? And what should be, when it comes to sexual assault, what should be the standard for saying this is wrong? Vanessa Grigoriadis is with us, author of the new book, Blurred Lines, that goes into all of this. Sarah Brown's here from the Chronicle of Higher Education. Frank Merks is here, Dean of Students at Drew University. President Obama was outspoken about campus sexual assault during his presidency. After they sent out that Dear Colleague letter, which is at the heart of all this, back in 2011, the president launched the White House Task Force to Protect Students from Sexual Assault. Here he is in 2014 saying the guidelines under the Dear Colleague letter themselves weren't enough.
We cannot stop there. There's obviously more that we have to do to keep our students safe. And that's why here today I will sign a presidential memorandum creating the White House Task Force to Protect Students from Sexual Assault. And we're going to work with colleges and universities and educational institutions of all kinds across America to help them come up with better ways to prevent and respond to sexual assault on their campuses.
President Obama making this a big focus. Elizabeth is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Elizabeth, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say that thinking about prosecuting these cases in an equal manner assumes that the playing field is level beforehand. And when I was in college, I went to Harvard. The dean actually wrote a book called Excellence Without a Soul, which goes into detail about date rape and how women were not taking responsibility for putting themselves in unsafe situations.
Okay.
And that's on a campus where the social life is dominated by entirely male social clubs called final clubs, where men would decide who comes in, what's put in the drink, what rooms are open. That really, were dens designed to allow sexual assault for the members on campus. And if nothing else, remind women that they were not the ones in power on college campuses. So I love that you played that quote from Obama. I agree that we can't just stop at prosecuting sexual assault. We have to think about why is so much sexual assault happening in the first place.
I mean, Elizabeth, I get it. There's an environment for all of these occurrences. But when it comes to discipline, how should that come into play? You see what Betsy DeVos, how she's trying to move the needle a little bit back toward due process for the accused. Now, that's after the environment you described. That's after the table is already set. But what should it mean at that point, in your view, Elizabeth?
Well, I think at that point, in addition to investigating what happened in that particular case, there should be an investigation of the environment that allowed that alleged assault to happen. And I do think that due process is important, but, I'm a physician now, and I take care of a lot of women who are assaulted, and very, very rarely do they want to report anything. So I think, believing women when they say, or believing men as well, when they say that they've been assaulted is probably the right way to go. And then sort of going from there, because there's so much pressure not to report.
But if someone just claims it, you would believe it and you would discipline a young man on that basis? That's enough? I mean, there are lifelong consequences potentially there, too.
No. What I would say is that you have to take sexual assault allegations seriously, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of pushback to reporting in the first place. And therefore, I think, you know, the assumption should be that, as you said to the previous caller, if nothing else, a severe misunderstanding happened. So let's try to figure out what happened, what was the environment, what was going on between the two of you, and kind of go from there.
Elizabeth, I really appreciate your call. Vanessa Gregoriadis, you've got a changing culture on campuses, a culture that Elizabeth is calling and saying it disadvantages women from the get-go in some cases. And then you've got Betsy DeVos coming in with this concern about due process. If her measures are brought into practice, how do you think that will intersect with the culture you've found on campuses? In what direction will it take sexual relations, Vanessa?
Well, once again, I think that she needs to be cognizant and educated about the murky situations that happen on campus, like a boy coming into somebody's room, a boy from two floors down in your dorm who decides to just come into your dorm room and get in bed with you one night, a guy who takes a girl home, and she may have consensually wanted to go home with him, but she's so drunk that by the time she gets to the dorm, she's passing out. And he decides that perhaps he should go forward because a real man always pushes and a real man always has sex if it's offered, even if that girl is not able to consent at that moment. So I am willing to say that there are problems with the campus adjudication in terms of sometimes the penalties being very severe for acts that may have been okay 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before Obama got involved here, for acts that people may have said, well, that's just the way things happen when kids are first having sex and when they're in a big dorm and when there's a loose environment at a fraternity. But we need to deal with the real cases that are happening here and keep her feet to the fire so that she punishes all types of misconduct and doesn't just focus on the cases that she believes campus courts can prove, because there are very few cases of extremely physically violent rape that they can actually prove. And it is a conservative shibboleth that if there wasn't physical violence, ipso facto, that is not rape. We as a country can no longer accept that statement as fact.
Ian, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ian, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I guess it's been about 12 years or so since I was in college. I went to a university in South Carolina and served on our version of what we call the Student Judicial Council. And I remember hearing a case of sexual assault, which we were told would, through training, would be an extremely rare event for us if we ever heard one at all.
Okay.
And it was very difficult as a young person in similar age and experience to either the victim and the accused to listen to the events as, you know, they were being described to us, and to try to determine through a preponderance of the evidence, you know, who was right, who was wrong, and to dole out some type of disciplinary action if we did find.
Why was it so difficult, Ian?
Because it is, you know, as some of the callers and your guests have said, it is boiled down to a he said, she said. And you are, as a young person, trying to determine who's telling you the truth. And both cases can seem very compelling. There is a lot of times a lack of evidence. And when it makes it to those type of judicial hearings that students are participating in, it's usually the police, in our instance, both city and campus police, had found that there was little or no evidence to move forward with a criminal prosecution. So it was falling to us to try to make the victim whole if we could. And it does make me a little concerned, and as much as I may disagree with the current administration, I do find that we may need to look at how can we better protect all parties involved, including the school. We lucked out at our university in that our program was overseen by and directly involved with the counsel's office for our university. So we had attorneys and investigators who were advising us and participated in the process.
Yeah, it's tough, and you were right in the thick of it. Ian, I appreciate your call. Sarah Brown, can you give us a sense of what it would mean if the standard went from a preponderance of evidence, which means like more likely or not this was sexual assault, to a demand for clear and convincing evidence? What kind of case might that sort of push off the table in terms of discipline?
Well, the effect of that sort of a shift might be that cases that are especially gray and thorny, and it's difficult to determine, whether was the victim too drunk to consent, et cetera, certain cases the panel might certainly decide this is not meeting the threshold. So that might have the effect of slightly narrowing the sort of definition of a campus sexual assault and what constitutes a campus sexual assault. I will say that in the interim, as these changes are being weighed at the federal level, mm-hmm. colleges will probably, for the vast majority of colleges, will continue to stay the course and continue to carry out the Obama administration's approach. A lot of colleges changed their policies, or at least adjusted their policies to make sure they were in line with the Title IX guidance the Obama administration issued. And that was a really long and difficult process for many institutions. And while things are still sort of up in the air at the federal level, the vast majority of colleges will probably stay the course as this sort of notice and comment process plays out. And that means the preponderance of evidence standard would stay in place at most colleges.
And yet that would be stay the course in anticipation. One presumes that Betsy DeVos is going to move for a change here. We're looking at what that change may be and how it would change who's disciplined and really what unfolds in the lives of students on American college campuses. Rick in Marshall, Missouri. Rick, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Tough subject, and you're a brave man. My point is that there is some personal responsibility for everyone involved. When you go to a college and the culture is binge drinking and you go somewhere and you become incapacitated,
yeah,
you've made a choice that causes yourself to have a problem, male or female. And, if you don't teach young men early that there are limits and there's a proper way
right.
to behave.
Right.
As a father of sons and an uncle of nephews as well as nieces,
mm-hmm.
you've got to think before you act. And kids, some of them haven't mastered that yet. And it's a tough call to send somebody down the river for life over something that everybody had a hand in.
Should it be that the victim has made a choice to be raped if he or she is drunk?
No, hmm? I can't say that, and that's part
yeah.
of the reason it's
yeah.
such a tough subject. You didn't make that choice. It's still an act that there's responsibility for, but you have to teach the young women as well as the young men that this behavior, binge drinking, becoming incapacitated where you can't take care of yourself, is not a recipe for winning in the world. The world will not take care of you in that situation. You have to look out for yourself.
Yes, definitely vulnerability arises there. Frank Merks, if Betsy DeVos takes us in the direction that it appears she wants to go, do you imagine that in a couple of years on your campus and others, there will be a looser environment around all these things because the standard for discipline will be higher, so things that might be fought and disciplined now will just be shrugged at?
I don't think so, because I think this generation of college students are really taking this on as a cultural change. So when you look at our students that are coming to campus, we do not do a good job of educating consent and appropriate behavior prior to they come here. So when we were speaking with students last year on college campuses, oftentimes the first time they were learning principles of consent was during college orientation. So we do have to have greater conversations within our families and in our K-12 system to change that. But regardless, the students on our campus now are working hard to change the college campus culture, and those are the really where the change is going to come from. So I think if there is a standard change, again, most of the universities were probably using a preponderance standard before. Like was said already, you know, we will probably stay using that while there is some discussion out there. And we do know that the courts at some point will get involved because there will be a lawsuit here or there that will go and help also sort of set the tone for that. So I think that the real strong point here is that our students on our campus are really our change agents. No matter what is going to come down from the federal government or from our campuses, they're going to be the ones to fight for what is appropriate behavior that they want on their college communities.
Vanessa, do you expect that a move by Betsy DeVos could change those expectations on campus?
No, I mean, I agree that the change is coming from the students themselves. I spoke to 120 college students, and the vast majority of them said things like a boy at the UT Austin who said to me, you know, I was reading something interesting on the web the other day, and it said how to be a real man, shave with a grain the first time, always buy tools that you can't replace, never point a gun at somebody unless you intend to shoot them, and never have sex with someone who doesn't want to have sex with you. And that boy said to me, that got me to think those are really good words to live by. Again, he's changing his mind about the standard of consent. He is changing his mind about what is ethical in the bedroom. And that is where we're really going to make progress as a country.
Vanessa Grigoriadis, author of the new book Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. Vanessa, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Sarah, do you expect a new regime when it comes to discipline a couple of years out?
Well, it remains to be seen what, again, these changes are going to look like specifically, but it'll certainly be interesting to see how the notice and comment process plays out. One thing I will say is, before we wrap up, is that the Obama administration, part of the shifts that they advocated for were implementing things like training and education on campuses. And those are the sorts of things that are really starting to enact cultural change, I think many college administrators would say. And those are the sorts of things that are not going to go away. If anything, those training and education sort of efforts are going to just persist and get even stronger.
Watch this space. Betsy DeVos pushing for change, others pushing in their own direction. Sarah Brown with Chronicle of Higher Education, thank you very much for being with us today, Sarah.
Thank you.
And Frank Merks, Dean of Students at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. Thank you so much, Dean Merks, for coming on.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and online comment. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.